Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. It's useful to get some notebook, paper, and pen to take notes during the show. The next series of shows I'd like to embark upon is All Your Worth, The Ultimate Lifetime Money Plan, which I have spent time on years ago, but which I feel is something we need to revisit in light of the challenges in our economy. The book, All Your Worth, is by Elizabeth Warren, who most of you know about now. She is a senator from Massachusetts, the first female senator from that state, and she has been a very important person in dealing with many debt issues, credit card issues, and issues to help the middle class in particular at the governmental level in the last few years. But before that, as a writer and scholar, a professor at Harvard University. She has a number of books, and All Your Worth was written with her daughter, Amelia Warren Tiagi. What I will follow for the most part is her book, All Your Worth, as the textbook in this series. So we ended the last show getting your must-haves aligned, which is about balance. Not too much and not too little. Earlier in the programming, we showed you what the right balance is for most people, spending about 50% of your take-home pay on must-haves, so you have 30% for wants and 20% for savings. So you started with your monthly after-tax income, and you multiplied that by 50%. And that amount equals your monthly must-have target. That amount is your ideal spending amount for your monthly must-haves. Now, we compare this number with your current monthly must-have expenditures, which we calculated in prior shows, to find out how much you need to save. If your current must-haves are less than your target, this means you are spending less than 50% of your income on must-haves. You don't need to make any cuts in your monthly must-haves, so you can actually skip the next step, which is the savings target. But what we're going to do now is take your current must-have expenses and you minus your must-have target, which we just went over. And of course, that equals your total cuts goal. So that number which you arrived at is your goal. This is the amount of money you want to squeeze from your must-have expenses so you can get your monthly spending into balance. Every time you make a cut in your must-have expenses, put it toward that goal. Well, does the goal seem like a big number for you? Regardless, stick with it. What All Your Worth does is help you get there step by step. And if you ultimately decide that you want to stay a little heavy on the must-have expenses for a while, down the road we will show you the steps you need to take to protect yourself. What about the other possibility? What if you are already spending less than 50% of your income on must-haves? Well, if you are, congratulations. Your must-haves are in balance with your income, so you have one less thing to worry about. Even so, go ahead and follow the next series of ideas, which focus on places to save money without cramping your style. After all, there's no reason to keep putting money in someone else's pocket if you can keep it for yourself. Now we're going to talk about cutting the easy stuff. When you're cutting back on expenses, start in the easiest places, the spots where you can make cuts that you will never feel. The price comparisons may take a little time, but the results are the best. All gain, no pain. Your day-to-day living will feel the same, but you can keep more of your money. The first area is lower your insurance costs. Yes, insurance sounds boring. We don't know any little kids who zoom around the living room pretending to be insurance reps, right? And shopping for insurance sounds like about as much fun as cleaning the gutters in a rainstorm. Even so, saving money sounds good. And talk about a place where the saving is easy. A couple of phone calls and you can save month in and month out for years. The big secret of insurance is that most people are paying too much, way too much. The companies just keep pocketing the profits. Homeowners insurance, life insurance, car insurance, you name it, most people just overpay. If you haven't shopped in the last 2 years, you probably pay too much. If you only got one quote before you signed up, you probably pay too much. If your real estate agent arranged for the insurance when you bought the house, you probably pay too much. And if you have a deductible less than $500, you probably pay too much. But first, we'll start with a quick review of the types of insurance we recommend you need. Car insurance and homeowners or renter's insurance are the most obvious. Health and disability insurance are also a must, but they're a little trickier and most people get them at work, so we'll talk about them in a separate discussion later on. If you have dependents, you need life insurance. And if you're over 55, long-term care insurance may also be a good idea. Shopping for insurance isn't hard. You don't have to drive anywhere and you don't have to try anything on. Hop online for some quotes or pull out the yellow pages and call a couple of agents. They will be eager to quote you the price for a new policy. And here are some tips for saving on your homeowner's, renter's, life, and car insurance bills. 1. Consider buying all of your insurance from one company. Some companies give big discounts if you carry your homeowner's, car, disability, and life insurance in the same place, but you have to ask. 2. Ask about other discounts. Insurance companies offer all kinds of discounts, some of which might surprise you. Discounts for non-smokers, for burglar alarms, for smoke detectors, for reaching the age of 65 or maybe even 55, for paying annually instead of monthly. Amelia Tiagi got a big discount because her husband has a degree in engineering. They're still trying to figure that one out. So be sure to ask for a list of all the discounts. Maybe you'll discover that having naturally curly hair will pay off once again. The third point is take the largest deductible you can. Choose something that would hurt to pay. Not enough pain to make you cry, but enough to make you say ouch out loud. Over the long run, insuring against the little things like $200 damage from a hailstorm or a $150 ding in the parking lot costs more in premiums than you actually get back. Besides, filing a small claim usually costs you more than it's worth in the long run because the insurance company can use your claim as a reason to raise your rates. Here's the general rule. Take the biggest deductible they offer, typically $1,000 for auto insurance and $2,500 for homeowners insurance. If you don't have enough in the bank to cover a deductible that large, don't worry. We'll talk about that soon. That is helping you get there. The fourth point is get at least 5 quotes. The goal is to save money, so don't take the first offer you get. And don't just get a bunch of quotes from a single agent who may have an incentive to steer you to a certain insurer. Keep shopping until you get quotes from at least 5 different sources. The fifth point is after you get your quotes, contact your current insurance company. Tell them your lowest quote and ask if they can beat it. Sometimes you get a good deal without the bother of switching. And I'll continue after station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you are listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now, the sixth point for getting insurance is credit rating affects your insurance quotes. If your credit rating is low, make a commitment to shop for insurance again after 6 months of clean living and to shop again after 6 months more. As your credit rating climbs, your insurance premiums will drop. Remember, insurance plans aren't like cell phone contracts. If you find a better deal, you can switch whenever you want. The seventh point is watch out for the extras. You need car insurance in case you get into an accident. Steer clear of an add-ons like roadside assistance and free rental cars. Likewise, you need a check when your house burns down, not when the faucets leak or the dishwasher breaks. Don't sign up for the little stuff. It is nearly always a bad bargain. And number eight, choose the lowest premiums you can find from a reputable company. Insurance companies are all pretty much the same, so long as they're high-quality companies. To judge the quality of a particular insurer, find its rating from an independent judge like AM Best, Moody's, or S&P. These ratings are available online, or you can ask the insurance company to tell you. So long as an insurer has a good rating, get the lowest quote you can, and don't worry about which company sponsors the fastest car at Indy. So the next point then is get rid of the insurance you don't need. Now that you're spending less on the insurance you do need, it is time to get rid of insurance you don't need. This advice may surprise you. After all, it seems so responsible to buy insurance, so why not buy more? But insurance is like anything else that's for sale. Sometimes it's worth the money, and sometimes it isn't. Now, we'll go over some most common insurance ripoffs that you should stay away from. Credit disability insurance or credit unemployment insurance. Credit card companies now offer insurance on their own credit card balances. These are bad deals squared. They say they will cover you if you lose your job or get seriously ill, which sounds pretty good, but that is a very big but. These policies are incredibly expensive and offer very flimsy benefits. Most of these policies do nothing more than let you skip your monthly payments on the balance you were carrying at the time you got sick or lost your job. This means that if you don't carry a balance, the policy is completely, totally useless. Even if you do carry a balance on your card, the company doesn't pay it off. They just suspend interest for a while, without giving you any new credit to cope with the cost of losing your job. And some of these policies don't even suspend interest payments. They just sock you with a bigger bill down the road. This kind of insurance is a real sucker's bet. If you're carrying it, drop it today and demand a refund for the unused portion. Another point is credit card loss protection. The FDIC has identified credit card loss protection as one of the top three scams in America, taking in more than 3 million people in the last year. This insurance promises to cover your losses if your card is stolen and the thief goes on spending sprees. Sounds good, but there's the catch. The federal law already limits your loss to $50 per card. You might as well buy an insurance policy to cover you if you drop a bag of groceries on the sidewalk. Sure, it is a nuisance, but you don't stand to lose much money. Another issue is identity theft protection insurance. This is one of the latest scams, primarily marketed by credit card companies. Notice any pattern about the insurance marketed by credit card companies? Sure, the protection sounds good, but stop to ask yourself, can a company really prevent thieves from using your personal information to their advantage? Of course not. The benefits of most of these policies add up to little more than someone making a few phone calls on your behalf if you become a victim. Do you want to pay big bucks each and every month just so someone may someday make a couple of phone calls? No. If you have identity theft insurance, dump it. Another thing is specialty life insurance products. Life insurance is there to replace your income and to provide for your dependents if something happens to you. Sound simple? But there are an awful lot of insurance peddlers who are making fat profits by making things seem a whole lot more complicated than they actually are. And so here are some examples of that. Insurance for kids. Gerber Life and other companies have made a booming business out of preying on the fears of young parents, and in the opinion of reasonable people, they deserve a face full of strained peas for doing this. Kids don't earn income and they don't have dependents, so they don't need life insurance, plain and simple. If you want to put something aside for your kids, put money in a college savings plan or buy a savings bond. Put your money into something they can use later on, but don't waste your money on a life insurance policy. Next thing is cash value insurance, also known as whole life or universal life insurance. This is an ordinary life insurance with a savings plan tacked on. Cash value insurance is quite expensive, and it requires you to hand over control of your savings plan to an insurance company that usually gets mediocre returns. These policies also tend to charge very high agent fees, which usually wipe out any tax savings or other benefits. Most experts agree that you'll get a lot better results if you just buy ordinary term life insurance and invest the difference on your own. What about mortgage life insurance? This pays off the mortgage on your home if you die. Well, that sounds good, but it costs 3 times more than an ordinary life insurance policy with similar benefits. You would be better off taking the same money and buying more life insurance, which could pay off the mortgage and leave a lot left over for your loved ones. If you have mortgage life insurance, call and cancel right away. Then there's accidental death insurance. This is life insurance with a twist. It only covers you if you die in an accident. Since only 5% of deaths are from accidents, odds are very high that your loved ones will never collect a dime. Pass it up. What about insurance for people with no dependents? If you don't have dependents, cancel your life insurance. If no one is counting on you to take care of them, then don't pay an insurance company for protection that no one needs. And then there's odd insurance. All kinds of companies offer all kinds of odd bits of insurance. The phone company will insure your phone jacks for a monthly fee. The pest control company will insure your house against termites. The dishwasher manufacturer will sell you an extended warranty. The travel agent will sell you flight insurance in case the plane crashes. Some companies will even sell you alien abduction insurance. Most of these policies are way overpriced for what you get. Unless you have some special reason to believe you are vulnerable, like your basement is full of tangled old phone lines and there's a flying saucer that hovers over your house, don't waste your money. And I'll return with this after station identification. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you're listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Another issue is student loans, particularly if you're still paying off that degree which you received in medieval history. Some student loan issuers will give you a discount if you are careful to pay on time or if you authorize monthly transfers from your bank account. For example, Sallie Mae, the nation's largest insurer of student loans, will slice 2 percentage points off the interest rate on certain loans if you have made your payments on time for the past 2 years. But you have to ask your student loan insurer if you can qualify for any discounts. It is worth a phone call, though. Also, just generally in the area of student loans, which is mostly tragic right now, watch out for private banks that offer to consolidate your student loans. They may lower your monthly payment, but usually at the cost of keeping your debt going much longer than necessary. The goal is to get a cheaper interest rate without prolonging your payments. Now, another thing to help you with your must-haves is to reshop your mortgage, but be very careful when you do this. If you haven't checked your mortgage rate in the past year or so, then it really is worth shopping. This may be your single biggest opportunity to shave money off your must-haves without changing a thing about how you live. But be warned, this can be dangerous territory. The rules of the game are changing very fast, and there are a lot of companies, including some with very big names, that are doing their best to cheat you. So keep alert and watch your step. There are about 6 basic rules of mortgage refinancing. Arm yourself before you call. You can save a lot of time in the long run and make things a lot easier if you get ready before you start shopping. You have to clean up your credit report. The mortgage lender will start by ordering a copy of your credit report, so your best bet is to clear up any errors ahead of time. Order a copy of your credit report from each of the 3 big credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. You can get your report for free each year from annualcreditreport.com. Steer clear of anyone who offers to clean up your credit report for you. They charge a lot of money, and most of them don't do any good anyway. This is strictly a do-it-yourself job. If you find errors, notify the credit bureau immediately. There are some common errors to look out for: mistakes in your name, social security number, and other personal information. So again, that's your name, your social security number, and other personal information. There are sometimes accounts that are not yours, bankruptcies that are more than 10 years old, and other negative information that is more than 7 years old. By law, the credit bureau is required to remove that information. So again, that is accounts that are not yours, bankruptcies that are more than 10 years old, and other negative information that is more than 7 years old. Next area is credit inquiries that are more than 2 years old. Missing notations when you've disputed a charge, listing a credit card and mortgage account that are in good standing. So again, it's credit inquiries that are more than 2 years old, missing notations when you've disputed a charge, a list of credit card and mortgage accounts that are in good standing, and also closed accounts that are incorrectly listed as open. According to polls, 1 in 4 credit reports contain an error serious enough to keep you from getting a good loan, so be sure to take the time to check before you apply for the mortgage. The next thing to do is gather your financial information. You gather your pay stubs, tax returns, bank statements, and the like. You'll need this before you can finalize your applications, so you might as well gather it ahead of time. You can usually get a more accurate quote if you have all the information at the time you apply. Also, be prepared with your current mortgage balance. This should be listed on your monthly mortgage statement. If you've thrown that out, then call the mortgage company and ask. Also, in the current markets, this may be a little bit more of a challenge, but learn how much your house is worth. The lenders will need to know this so they can calculate a loan-to-value ratio. This tells them how much equity you have in the house. The more equity you have, the better your interest rate. Eventually, you will need an official estimate of the value of your house, but having a general sense ahead of time can help you with your shopping. So check out the open houses in your neighborhood and take a look at the real estate section of the newspaper so you get a ballpark estimate of what your house is worth. The next major thing is get multiple quotes. Before you buy something big, say a washing machine or a new television, you probably check prices at 2 or 3 stores. Well, your mortgage probably costs 200 times more than your washing machine, so you should talk to 400 or 600 mortgage companies, right? Well, that's a bit much, but you get the point. Shopping hard for a mortgage can save you far more money than shopping for pretty much anything else. So put in the time to get it right. The rule of thumb is this: 5 quotes before you quit. 5 different mortgage companies with lots of information and plenty of range to compare. And if the quotes are all over the place, then you may want to get 5 more. The bottom line is that the time you spend here pays off big time. The next thing to remember is that mortgage brokers do not work for you. The mortgage broker, like an insurance broker, gets you price quotes from a lot of different places and gets a commission for his services. So far, so good. But mortgage brokers, unlike most insurance brokers, often get extra commissions from the lender if they talk you into taking a mortgage with a higher interest rate than you actually qualify for. That's right. They get kickbacks for steering you to a bad deal. So you better beware. Yes, it is your money. Yes, you choose which lender will have your mortgage. Yes, the broker will tell you that he checked with all the banks and that he found you a great deal. But the fact is, mortgage brokers are a lot like car salespeople. The more you pay, the more they make. A study at Harvard Law School showed that people who went to mortgage brokers paid, on the average, over $1,000 more than people who went directly to the mortgage lender. Does that mean you should never, ever use a mortgage broker? Not necessarily. There are some reputable brokers who will give you a perfectly fair quote. And there are some mortgage companies that will steer you to a bad deal if you don't use a broker. But you should never count on a loan broker, a single website, or just one lender to show you all your options. The lesson is straightforward. You must get on the phone and get quotes from several different sources. If you're not sure if a particular company is a mortgage broker, just ask. And keep asking questions until you are sure you have the best deal. Another thing is, do not increase the amount of money you borrow. This is something that people often violate. There are lots of people, including a number of so-called financial experts, who will tell you that it's smart to cash out your home equity and take a bigger mortgage. Well, we can say emphatically, this isn't smart. In fact, it is just plain dangerous. You're not cashing anything. You are just borrowing money that you will have to pay back someday, and you are doing it in the most dangerous way possible. If something goes wrong and you can't pay, the mortgage company gets to take your house away. Not a good idea. We will talk about home equity loans in depth later on in this series of shows. But for now, just remember this one simple rule. When you refinance your mortgage, do not let the bank talk you into taking out a single dollar of new debt. And I'll say that again. When you refinance your mortgage, don't let the bank talk you into taking out a single dollar of new debt. Then the next point is, watch out for fees, points, and other fine print. Picture this, a team of lawyers fanning out through a forest to lay bear traps, which they carefully cover over with leaves. Then switch the image. The forest is really just a mortgage agreement, and the leaves are just words to cover up what they are doing. But the traps are real, and you need to make sure that they aren't in your contract. There are a list of questions you need to ask along with answers you want to hear, and I will just introduce those today. What is your interest rate? How many points are on the loan? What are the closing costs, origination costs, and other fees? How long is the payoff period? Is this a fixed or variable rate? Is there a balloon payment? Is there a prepayment penalty? Is there a yield spread premium or a YSP? Do I have to take out private mortgage insurance? And in the next show, I will go into more detail on each one of those points. This is Iowa bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.